The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. Today I'm going to talk about the second of the six paramitas, the precepts or ethical conduct. Last time I talked about the first one, generosity, which really means kindness. As I said last time, the paramitas are listed in a particular order, and it's for good reason. And they are generosity, precepts, patience, vigor, meditation, and wisdom. And they build upon each other. So we start with generosity or kindness, because it's fundamental to any religious practice. All the major religions focus on kindness as the essential basis on which everything else builds. Sometimes it doesn't look like that, but this is the basis, that's the essential thing. Kindness is the fundament. And then we come to ethical conduct, the precepts for us. And again, all the major religions are based on ethical conduct. You can't do without it. Otherwise, you're missing the point in any religion. And again, it doesn't always look like that. But in all the major religions, ethical conduct is essential. Well, we can practice all these paramitas together, and we do. We don't just do one and then the next one. But they do build on each other. Well, here in the West, there's been a tendency for people to want to go straight to meditation and wisdom and miss the importance of how we treat other beings, kindness and ethical conduct. The mindfulness movement is really a good thing. And now people are starting to realize that you have to have ethical conduct as well. You can't just practice mindfulness in a vacuum because it's kind of sterile. There's the essential aspect of ethical conduct because that helps us to deal with selfishness. Otherwise, you're just in kind of a little vacuum of your own little self-bubble, and that's not very helpful. Because the precepts are called the great liberators. They free us from suffering. And that's why they're essential to Buddhist practice. As the Buddha said, I teach two things. I teach suffering and the ending of suffering. And if we're not trying to live by the precepts, we're just continuing to create suffering for ourselves and other beings. So, precepts are vital. Today, we have the festival of Akshalanatha, the great guardian king of light, the chief of those guardians. And he sits or stands on a solid, barren rock, as we see all these images. Solid, bare rock, not some nice lotus blossom like some of the others. And he's in some desolate place out in the desert somewhere, not in some nice heavenly realm. His name means the immovable one, and he is immovable on his solid, barren rock. Sitting or standing still amid the flames of greed, anger and ignorance, the passions, sitting still in the midst of them, letting them just burn. He doesn't throw more wood on the fire. He doesn't try and stamp the flames out. Just sitting still, let it burn. Don't hold on to it. Don't push it away. And he holds two things. In his right hand he's got his sword of wisdom to cut off attachments, to cut off attachment to those passions. It doesn't mean they don't burn, but you're not letting them consume you. You're not letting them take you over. So his sword is his sword of wisdom, so he can see what he's doing. Attachment, cut it off. And on the other hand, he has his rope of the precepts. And he's offering them to us. They're not just for himself, they're for us. So we receive the precepts and we try to keep to them. We bind ourselves with that rope of the precepts, voluntarily. We've accepted them, they've not been forced on us. and we use them to liberate ourselves. They might look like restrictions because they bind us, but actually they're the way to free ourselves from suffering, to free ourselves from selfishness, which just creates suffering. That's the basis of suffering, really, selfishness, except with the things like famine and all that. But selfishness is the basis for just about all our suffering. When we live just for ourselves, we're enslaved by what we want and what we don't want, by our fear. Fear of not getting what we want, fear of getting what we don't want. And we might think it's freedom living for ourselves, but actually it's bondage to our selfishness. It's not freedom at all. We're constantly running after that self, trying to give it what it wants, not get what we don't want, constantly enslaved to this here self. And when we keep to the precepts, we're liberating ourselves from that. We're working on that. Because when we lie or misuse sexuality or get angry or judgmental or all those things, we're creating suffering for ourselves and for other beings. We feel horrible when we do something that's really wrong. And we all know that. Whether we've taken the precepts or not, we have that ugh feeling. Sometimes it's really bad. Sometimes it's just a little unease. And the precepts show us how to stop doing that, how to stop creating suffering for ourselves and for other people. So when we take the precepts, we're saying, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be selfish and do harm. I want to live for something better, from something better. We're aspiring to something greater than ourselves and our little view of things, my little selfish view. And the precepts show us how to do that. It's what our heart truly wants. We want to live in a better way, to follow that sincere wish of the heart, to live for more than just me and what I want, which is suffering. So we take the precepts. And this doesn't mean that we're now a good person. I've taken the precepts, I'm a good person. On the contrary, we might feel anything but a good person because we start to see some of the ways we've been breaking the precepts, maybe for years, and sometimes oblivious and wondering why we were miserable. Well, we've been not keeping to the precepts. Being angry and judgmental, you know, we often do that. Not being completely straightforward with people, just kind of fudging it a bit. Taking advantage of other people in subtle ways and all kinds of things. And the more we work with the precepts, the deeper they become, because we start to see more deeply, oh, that isn't quite right. Oh, I'm not being completely honest there. Oh, I'm taking something that isn't actually given to me, although I thought it was okay. Maybe not. Actually, I shouldn't do that. There's always more to see, so we never keep them perfectly. We go on, and we keep deepening our understanding. As Reverend Master Ji pointed out in a commentary on the Kyokju Kaimon, a commentary on the precepts, goes deeper and deeper. Ask, what is good to do here? What do I need to do? How do I keep to the precepts? And because we never, because they're so profound, and you just go on, we never keep to them perfectly. We can never say, okay, I've got it now. I'm keeping to the precepts. I'm doing fine. I don't have to worry anymore. I'm just on track. Because, of course, there's always more to do. And this is why compassion is essential when we try to keep to the precepts. We have to have compassion for our own shortcomings and for the shortcomings of other people. The precepts are not a club to beat ourselves with, as I've often said. Never mind beating anybody else with our club of precepts. Many people haven't taken them anyway, but we've taken them, and we resolve to keep them. But we don't club ourselves on the head when we don't keep them perfectly. It's not a judgmental kind of a thing. The precepts are liberators. They free us from that mind of selfishness, which includes judgment of both ourselves and other beings. We just try to do our best and trust that other people are doing their best too. It's not for us to judge anyone else. The precept, do not be proud of yourself and devalue others, it's really hard to keep because all of us, I think, have such a critical mind. It seems like we have been imbibed with mother's milk, this critical mind. And there it is, and it's constantly coming up. But we don't have to go with it. We can recognize it and say, ah, I'm judging again. Oh, there's that little critical mind again. Ah, I can let that go. Well, now at present, we have this coronavirus pandemic, as we know, and the fear and uncertainty that people are facing. And keeping to the precepts is more vital than ever. We might be tempted to think, well, these are unusual times. It's understandable if I get a little bit upset and take it out on my family just a little bit, just a little bit of a nag, you know, grumbling and or just being bad-tempered, actually. Or if I rant about somebody. Or if I go out and socialize with people because I'm tired of being here in my home. Let's just go out and have a little good time. Or whatever it might be. But are we keeping to the precepts if we do this? Are we ceasing from evil? Doing only good? Doing good for others? If we're making life misery for our family? Or endangering people by not keeping to the rules of distancing and all that? I don't think so. We're not doing that well with the precepts. Blaming other people. There's been an awful lot of blaming going on in recent times. And this is what always seems to happen when something awful happens. Whose fault is it? Who can we blame? Whose fault is it? It's not me, it's somebody else. We don't have to join in it. We can refrain from that and try to find compassion for everybody, even those you may not agree with. Finding compassion for everybody, even those who may be blaming other people, to find compassion. It's fear that makes people blame other people, including us. Fear that makes us blame other people. Trying to find a reason and maybe a remedy to be in control of something, but we're actually not in control of anything. And, as we know, there's been an awful, well, not awful, a huge outpouring of generosity, kindness, helping other beings, as we know, gratitude for those who endanger themselves to help other people. And this touches our hearts. We see these things in the newspaper or on the news, and it really touches our hearts, and it inspires us to do what we can help to do, well, how we can help as well, to keep to the precepts, to sit still in the midst of all conditions, offering merit, as well as helping where we can. This helps everybody, whether they see it or not, whether anybody else sees what we do, whether anybody else sees us keeping our temper, refraining from ranting about somebody or something or some situation, not going out and socializing, or the things we refrain from. People don't see that generally, but it helps. Our offering of merit, our offering of restraint, restraining ourselves with the precepts, not just doing what we want, but restraining ourselves. People don't see that, but it helps everybody, and it's an offering of merit to the world. It helps everybody. Because we're all intimately connected, as we see. You know, we're all in this together, a whole world of us. And what we do, and how we live, and how we think, and how we speak, and what, however we turn our hearts, it affects everybody. Turning our heart to the good, rather than just doing what we want in the immediate, short term. The precepts are a reliable guide for our lives, no matter what the circumstances may be. Achalanatha is sitting on his hard rock. Doesn't look very comfortable. There he is, in the midst of his flames of greed, anger, and ignorance. He's sitting still no matter what, no matter what comes his way. And he shows us the way to sit firmly and not get pushed off our seat by circumstances, no matter how dire. Either internal circumstances, our own passions, anger, wanting something, stupidity, ignorance, or external circumstances of being all the things that happen. People worried about money, worried about not having a job, worried about getting sick, grieving for their relatives. You know, there's so much of this. And we can just see those things as you know, a number of people, all there's numbers of people who have died, numbers of people who are ill. These are all human beings. Each of them has a life, has people who love them, has some circumstance. It's not just a number. But not getting pushed off by these, not getting pushed off into despair, panic, fear, worry, selfishness. Not letting those flames burn us up. Just to sit still amid wanting, desire, wanting something else. I want something else. All of us would like to have something else. None of us is mad keen about this. This is what we have. Anger, irritation, frustration. Here I am. I want to get on with my life. Here I am stuck at home, or here I am endangering myself, or here I am with my family maybe getting sick. Maybe they've already got sick. Maybe somebody's died. The ignorance that we inherit as human beings, our delusions of thinking that life can be the way we'd like it. It's not the way we'd like it, you know. This is samsara after all. We get what we get. We don't always get what we want. And to sit still amidst all these flames of greed, anger, and ignorance is the way to relinquish suffering, to restrain ourselves with the precepts from just going out and creating problems for ourselves and others, or staying home and creating problems by being upset about everything. Achalanatha is a form of Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion, creates springs from Avalokiteshvara's heart. And he is showing us compassion in its firm and wrathful form. He's not angry, he's just sitting still. This is what we do. This is the way to the end of suffering. This is the way of compassion, he says. Let go of selfishness. Here are the precepts. This is the way to do it. Take them, you know. The precepts have been handed down to us from the time of the Buddha. From the Buddha. He lived through some really difficult times. He was attacked, almost killed, blamed for things. People would come and be rude, you know. He was criticized. People would try and set him up as though he'd done some awful thing, murdered somebody and this kind of thing. And it would always come out that he hadn't done any of that at all. But people would try to disparage him, make him look bad. He saw his relatives dying in wars. They were always having wars and he tried to prevent them and he couldn't. Trying to lead the community of monks and lay people, doing something quite new. This hadn't been done before, I don't think, in this way, of having such a following in that way. Maybe I'm wrong. But trying to do that with wisdom and compassion, leading people to the good, leading people to find the end of suffering for themselves, teaching them the precepts. And in his own life, dealing with sickness. He was got old and sick, had a bad back, just like anybody else. He lived to 80. And being 80 years old in that time was probably not much fun. Deprivation. Often they would have no food. You know, there was one time and they were given horse food. That was all there was. So they ate horse food with gratitude. All kinds of things happened. And still, keeping to the precepts through thick and thin, no matter what, keeping to those precepts, no question about it, no matter what, just doing what was needed to do. The precepts are the conduct of Buddhas. I love that. The conduct of Buddhas, they're how a Buddha lives. Sitting still in the midst of all conditions, with compassion and with wisdom, not with anger and fear and judgment. Sitting still in the midst of whatever flames may arise. The flames themselves are not the problem. It's our attachment to them that has created the problem. As somebody wise said yesterday in a Dharma talk, it's not the anger or the fear or the attachment that's the problem. It's how we, or the wanting that's the problem. It's how we cling to these things. We can let them come, we can let them go. We don't have to hold on to them. We don't have to get consumed by them. We can sit still in the midst of them as best we can. And we don't do it perfectly. We want to live as a Buddha would live. We want to sit still in the midst of all conditions. We want to liberate ourselves from suffering and help other beings. Knowing we're just imperfect human beings, living with other imperfect human beings in this imperfect world, doing the best we can, trying to live as a Buddha would live amidst all the circumstances that come our way. So maybe continue just to do our best, to sit still with wisdom and compassion, to keep to the precepts as best we can, and offer the merit of our training for the benefit of all beings. So may all beings be free from fear and suffering, and may we all realize the truth. Anybody who hears this talk and does not know what the precepts are, they're on our website. I could enumerate them right now, but I might not get them right. I could just do it. Okay, the three refuges. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. The three pure precepts. Cease from evil, do only good, do good for others. Which embody all of the precepts, actually. And then the 10 precepts. Do not kill, do not steal, do not lie, do not indulge in harmful sexuality, do not sell the wine of delusion, do not be proud of yourself and devalue others. Help. Do not speak against others. Do not be angry. Do not be mean in giving either Dharma or wealth. Do not defame the three treasures. May not be in quite that order, but that's the gist of it. For anybody who would like to know what these precepts are and does not know, here I'm preaching to the converted, so we all know. But just, it's helpful to remember them. Whether we've taken them many years ago, or we have not taken them for ourselves yet, they're a wonderful thing to live by. So let us do that. Thank you. That's our talk for the day.